You guys are going to be so glad you found us.
We're just two military spouses, realtors, and friends out here keeping it real.
Today, we're going to talk about compromises you're going to make with housing here in Hawaii.
And aren't there compromises?
There are indeed.
We literally came here actually to talk about the sacrifices and what's the different
ultimate
word?
Compromises. Compromise
is a little better than sacrifices that you make with any housing option here. And I think we could probably start with on-post housing. And I was literally just going to say the only two benefits, in my opinion, of living on-post is proximity to work.
Things.
If that is a pro for you. For some people, it's just not.
Yeah. Might not be a feature.
And that you don't have to pay pet deposits, which or pet rent.
Or security deposits. Right.
Yeah.
But you do.
And now you do.
Yeah, now you do. Yeah. They will start taking it out of your pay after that. But from a document that a client just sent me asking me questions about it, yes, it states in there that there is still a security deposit. They had a pet. There's a pet deposit. And the prorated rent amount. So this person specifically was being asked to put down $2,300, which is still substantially less than renting off post. Yeah. We can touch on that in a minute. But yeah, it's not like a free just move into a house with no upfront cost. And that was the second house they were shown. And she went on to tell me that if they didn't take one of the two houses, that they would be put back to the bottom of the waiting list. And so basically they only got two choices.
Yeah.
And then they're giving away all that money, over $100,000. While they're here for 3 years and got to pick between two houses.
So did she like the house?
She is not here yet. Her husband was here. Oh, okay. And he said they were fine. But
it's fine.
You know.
That's what you want to hear. Yeah. You want to live here for 3 years? It's fine.
It's fine. Like it's not on fire or unsafe. But well, I guess that's questionable, the unsafe part. But when you're spending literally like this family was an E5, they're getting roughly $120,000 in BAH while they're here for 3 years. I think that they could do better than it's fine. And at least if they're going to make a compromise or sacrifice, maybe get something that's, even if it's just fine, is going to net them something in the end.
I will live somewhere that's just fine if it's going to make me money.
Sure. <I'm not laughs> or even if you have more control over your environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that's another true. Pro. So there are definitely a lot of things we could talk about regarding on-post housing, for sure.
I think the biggest compromise that you and I have landed on over our, like, well, we've worked together now for 3 years, basically advising people on housing options. Yeah. The biggest compromise you make with on-post housing is obviously not the space. You get space. I've never heard anyone say, like, I don't get enough space. but it's just the money that you're compromising. Like, you're just... You're literally giving away money.
Yeah.
The way COLA went down, BAH, like we were just saying, went up last year for, I think it was for E6, because it's different based on rank. E6 BAH went up $500 a month.
Right.
From 2022 to this year.
Absolutely. Most ranks did, honestly. Yeah.
I think the lowest increase I saw was maybe around 300, but you'd have to fact check me on that.
Sure.
But I can't remember. I wish I would have screenshot the number of families that reached out to us that we had talked to. That maybe
we went house hunting with one of them yesterday.
I just triggered you.
People are coming out of the woodworks like, oh my God.
Yeah, they're like, it's so frustrating. They're just taking all that money.
But we told them that. And that brings me to like my biggest pet peeve is people not taking us at our word as just genuine military spouses. Because we're real estate agents, because we work in the real estate industry, people inherently are just like, they're telling me lies because they want me to buy a house. But honestly, I feel like we pride ourselves on being fellow spouses first and foremost. And the reason that we connected so well and work so well together is because genuinely both of us got into real estate because of our personal experiences.
It was like happenstance.
Yes, it was. It just was like we were doing our own things and our paths just crossed and they happened to be the same path. And so now we're going down this path together. But it's because I got into real estate because of my personal experience. You got into real estate because of your personal experience, not because we were realtors before this and this is just what we've done our whole lives.
Right.
We had other careers. Like I had an 8-year work at home, 6-figure career before this. You ran your own company.
Yes.
We had other things going for us before these careers, but we got into this because I sold two houses in Colorado when we were moving here and we made $100,000.
Yes.
You guys, I mean, you can tell your own story, but you picked Hawaii specifically.
We did. Again, I told you my husband's a numbers guy. So we were literally heavily researching real estate investment after our success in Kansas. And we were like, we have to go somewhere where we can.
Saying something.
we'll get into all that someday. But we were like, yeah, Hawaii has the best chance, the best housing market. We're insulated from all of our concerns about investing and let's go there. And it's actually really funny because when we were heavily researching real estate investing, we were in Germany where we really couldn't do much from there. And we weren't going to start this whole thing with like a long distance across the ocean investment. Mm-hmm. But we listened to Bigger Pockets, which is like one of my favorite podcasts. Yeah. And it's all about real estate. And one of the guys who runs it lives on Maui.
No.
And when we were at Hamilton a couple weeks ago, we ran into him.
That was like, Courtney. So serendipitous.
He was like, look, it's Brandon Turner from Bigger Pockets. I was like, we have to go say hi. And we did. We got to go up and tell him, like, hello, sir. We live in Hawaii because of you. I mean, like,
absolutely military. Fanboying on you.
He was so nice about it, though.
That's so good.
If anyone out there, obviously you're here because you love us and you want to listen about real estate and Hawaii and whatever. But if you're looking at real estate investing and you're like, wanting other people to back up these things that we are saying.
Yeah. Go, always fact check us.
Fact check us. Go look at other real estate podcasts, specifically Bigger Pockets. I mean, all they do is interview like normal people,
right?
Cops, teachers, whoever that just decided
to do this. Yes.
And that was what Brandon said when we met with him. He goes, I love that you guys went for it because I talked to many people and they just don't.
Yeah. It's like a fear thing, even though especially for here in Hawaii, there is a plethora of data from a lot of different sources, our own personal success stories now and data that we have internally from HBR, from the National Association of Realtors. The numbers are there. The information is there. But ultimately, people stop themselves just because of a fear factor.
And that's why they go on post.
Yes. Yes, they
do. That's why
it's a herd mentality. Mm-hmm. Like that's where all the other military families are. It feels familiar. Yeah. It's,
which we get. We get it's scary to like make a bigger financial decision.
I'm ashamed to say, but we went and looked at a house on post when we moved here, which I know I told you the other day.
I think my jaw hit the floor. I mean, yeah, we're into real estate, but I didn't think you'd ever.
I know. And we had just made $100,000. Like I was actively getting my real estate license. And we, pro tip, work with realtors that don't live on post because, practice what you preach.
Practice, put your money where your mouth is.
But we were that nervous just with the prices here and coming from a 3,200 square foot house in Colorado and buying a 1,400 square foot house here for more than our other three houses combined. Yeah. Like that kind of hits a little different when you're looking at those numbers. But ultimately, what killed me was we were told the same thing, like, hey, you have these two options. If you don't pick one of them, you're going back to the bottom of the waiting list. And that's what kind of made me snap and was just like reckless abandon, like, screw this, we're buying a house because couldn't make peace with the fact of giving away that much money, period. But then to give it away and only have two choices. And then I started doing my own research on the spouses' pages about like the bugs, the mold, the maintenance issues that don't get addressed. And now we're hearing more and more about power outages. I have a screenshot for you after this about
if you're going to live on
post, buy a generator. Like you should not have to prep to live on post by buying alternate forms of electricity.
Not to mention nobody there can even work right now. Like it's affecting everybody. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And they had that power outage on Christmas Day.
All of Christmas Day.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
People were like, I can't cook my dinner. We can't turn on our tree, our Christmas lights.
So sad.
My God. I was like doom scrolling.
But we tell people these things ahead of time. Mm-hmm. All the people out there listening to us, we're telling you this ahead of time. But inherently, it gets swept under the rug because we're real estate agents. And I just think that's a little unfair.
Yeah.
Because everything we tell people, again, we can back up.
And okay, I know we just literally ripped apart OnBase housing. We like full disclosure, we know that we did that. But we have told certain people like, no, you might be better off on post.
I mean,
you're going to deal with issues no matter where you live. But yeah, I mean, if it's between getting a 3,200 square foot house for your family of six or cramming into a 3-bedroom off base and it's not near your work, not near your school. Like if you don't have any options at all.
Yeah.
sure, go live on base. Like that might be the right call for you.
100% agree.
But if you can,
yeah,
move here, invest here, you know, own your own home.
At least look into it. At least get educated. That's what I've started telling more and more people is like buying a home is not for everybody. However, buying a home is for more people than most people think.
Yeah.
Just get educated.
Yes.
We are transparent enough and we, I think, pride ourselves enough on our reputation and on being spouses first and foremost and having large families. Not me, Courtney. But, you know, I think we pride ourselves enough on being genuine humans to look at somebody's situation and say like, no, live on post, or you do property management. Mm-hmm. No, don't buy, but I have a rental that might work for you. Like we are genuinely here to be those points of resource as well.
Exactly. Again, that's where it's just like getting on a call and figuring out what all of that looks like.
Don't put your head in the sand and just assume you can't do it though.
Yes.
That's the message that I think I most want to convey throughout what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And in general is just, we're just people and just talk to us and let us know your situation and your fears. And if it's not going to work for you, then at least you can say you did a little bit of due diligence and then made an educated decision.
So let's be full disclosure then, like we have any other way to be.
We normally are so beat around the bush.
But, you know, we're talk like we're trying to talk about the compromises of all housing options here. I mean, we obviously will always be peppering you with the benefits of buying a home here in Hawaii. But what are the compromises, like your biggest compromise you would say of buying a home? Like what are you giving up buying a home here?
Well, space. That's like the easy no-brainer, no matter how you slice it. I mean, we have our long-term, I would say, retirement house here, and it's still not as big square footage-wise as our home in Colorado was.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like that is still a sacrifice we make, and we are on our fourth house here, and we've been here 6 years. So space is definitely a compromise for sure. However, the things that I had to part with, you know, my second living room set, my 12-foot dining table with huge captain's chairs on either end, the giant 10-foot sectional, like literally
the trampoline. I know you didn't have a trampoline.
Everybody but a lot of people do. Those things that we parted with, at the end of the day, my dining room table wasn't going to make me any money. And I know I don't want to seem like we just keep harping on like money is the end all be all. However, I personally, Clayton and I, are at the end of the military journey, right? He served 22 years. He retired. He's 90% disabled. I can tell you that we make $5,000 a month roughly from that pay. And that is not enough to survive and function and live, you know, the kind of lifestyle that most people probably want to live in retirement. So you have to do better for yourself. You have to do more. And that's where investing of any kind comes into play, whether you're putting it into the TSP or into some sort of other, you know, investment or stock or real estate, whatever, because you want to have more in retirement, more at the end when you want to just chill.
Right.
So my dining room table, as much as I loved it and it was, you know, only a year old and we paid so much money for it, it was never going to gain value. It wasn't going to be like, oh, vintage dining room table I can sell for
from
a profit.
Ashley Furniture.
Right. Like it. But a home is, and especially a home here.
Yeah.
So space, for sure. That was hard for me. My house felt like a pier one. I had stickers on everything. And for like 4 days, we put everything on Facebook Marketplace and people were coming through the house. And that was tough.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit stressful. And I felt like I was losing all of my things, you know. But at the end of the day, we sold that house after 2.5 years and made $70,000. And I could buy all the couches I wanted.
All the dining room chairs.
And so that's, even though, again, I was getting into real estate at the time, it was something that I personally struggled with. So definitely space. I know that was the easy answer and I took it, and now you have to find a harder one to But
I think I have another one I'll say for buying, but now I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, I can't remember. I do have though a second compromise, and it just, it's like the thing that everybody talks about is the commute.
So,
I mean,
so good. Such a good one.
If there is one thing people on this island like to talk about, it is commute times and traffic. I mean, I know people joke about that for like California. I think it's 100% worse here.
Yeah.
There's even like those funny signs at that Island Living store that are like, yeah,
I love you enough to get on the H1 at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock going west. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, I was like, I don't get that. Cause I moved here during COVID. I was like,
For like the first 2 years you were here, like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. No. And now I get it.
Now you get it.
I don't think that's Hawaii specific. So I think what it comes down to, and I was telling this to my mom the other day, mm-hmm. I was like, Hawaii is such a great place to live. There's, you know, good food. You can be outdoors all the time. Right. Everybody's happy. You go to the beach. I mean, like, it's literally paradise.
Yeah.
But we are human and we have to find something to complain about.
Just dig in.
Yes. It's like, what are we going to find? Traffic. That's literally it. But it's, you know, we talk to hundreds of families. I was just on the phone with a gal that's coming from Virginia today, and mm-hmm. I know a ton of people.
What a big move.
Oh, yeah. Well, and everybody's moving from Virginia. Yeah. I swear there's like a mass exodus. And I know it's because there's all five branches there.
Yeah.
That shuffle back and forth here. But I tell them the commute times, and they're like, that's nothing.
True. DC, Virginia. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
So just because you could live on base and be 5 minutes away, mm-hmm. that's anywhere. I could have lived on base in Fort Benning.
So true.
I was absolutely not going to do that. Right. I lived north of exit 12. If you're an Army family, you know what that means. And the commute was the same as here.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. And while you're baffling. In the car, you can listen to this very entertaining podcast.
Let's just plug ourselves while we're
audiobooks, podcasts, whatever. Like, catch up with your family. Like, when I'm in the car driving, because we go to a lot of appointments, we're driving all over this island. Mm-hmm. What do we do in the car? We literally, like, do work things when it's the two of us. But when I'm by myself, I call my dad in Alaska. I catch up. I do listen to podcasts. I listen to my audiobooks. Like, it doesn't have to be torturous. Mm-mm.
It's not that bad. It will be torturous, however, if you don't have air conditioning in your car.
Yeah. You don't need it in your house. Make sure you have it in your car.
Nobody wants to get beaten down by the sun on H1. So
true.
I think, space. And if you are somebody who is like so over a commute, mm-hmm. commute, those are going to be the two compromises. Yeah. For buying a home.
Occasionally yard space, or I think coming from the mainland, the struggle to understand townhome and condo living is something that we hear a lot.
Do you remember?
I triggered you now.
No, it was more like a cute memory. Do you remember when we were house hunting, Jack and I were?
And I specifically remember exactly what you're going to say. Yes, I do.
We were coming from a larger home in Germany, which is so funny thinking back now, because that 100% was a townhome.
It was, We lived in a similar style of house, even though we were not in Germany at the same time. We did not live in the same place, but the government housing off of post in Germany, I think, is pretty similar, because you've described your house. And I'm like, wow, that's like,
that was
exactly my house.
The death spiral staircase.
Yeah.
But I think maybe because we're in the mindset where we're like, well, we're buying our home. And if we're going to buy our home, mm-hmm. it's going to be a single family home. And we were able to shop in that price point at the time. So I was like, Kendra, I like emailed you.
What did your realtor tell you?
It was so nice to chat with you. Thank you for setting up our home searches, but you can just turn off the townhome search because we're only interested in single family homes. Mm. And literally, I got a response back probably in like 5 seconds. And Kendra's like, I'm not going to do that. She's like, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, okay, we're not going to buy a townhome though, but thank you for your candor. And then,
what did you buy?
Yeah, a townhome.
Do tell the masses.
We did. We bought a townhome. And again, we had two kids. We had a dog. We bought a townhome. We didn't have a yard. We had like a paved lanai, mm-hmm. but it was the best investment. And it was larger, I think, in size than your first home
here. We share a brain in case anybody out there wants to know. that's literally what I was about to say. It was 100 square feet bigger than my first mm-hmm. single family home. And if you want to quickly tell the story, better insulated.
Yeah, we found this out when we were talking to, I think, a client together.
Yes.
And we were talking about how they didn't want to live in a townhome. Mm-hmm. And you were trying to tell her on the phone, like, well, when I lived in a single family home, my neighbor had parrots.
Right.
And you could hear the parrots from inside your house, through the wall, through their wall, mm-hmm. from their house.
Windows closed, hearing the parrots talk. Yes, that is true. Because I could reach across my fence and touch her house.
Yes.
Because even single family homes are so close together and not insulated.
Yes, they're not. It's warm. But then I think you had that conversation, and it was around Christmas time, and I was my neighbor, Auntie Barbara, the saint that she is. Auntie Barbara, if you ever listen to this, I love you. She invited me and mm-hmm. Jack and the kids up to her home, which was connected to mine, and the upstairs, like adjoined, like literally my bedroom wall. And she invited us up to see all of her Christmas decorations. That gal went all out.
Yeah, the outside was always so pretty. I never went in the house, but like the outside, every time I picked you up, I was like,
oh. Immaculate. And so we went inside and I was like, oh my God, you have birds. I was like, there are birds all over this house. There was like one tweeting around this way. And I mean, like,
oh my gosh,
the noise of birds.
Yeah.
I never knew that. I had been living next to Auntie Barbara, sharing walls with her for a year. So all of that long-winded story to say townhomes are better insulated. Yes. I mean, if you have an upstairs neighbor, you might hear them a little bit, but like you're not going to hear your neighbor yelling through the wall. They're better built here.
Exactly. So coming from the mainland, I do think that's a challenge that we talk to a lot of people about is getting their heads around. So I guess some people could see that as a compromise or something they would have to adjust to as well. So,
but are you guaranteed a single family
home? No, you are absolutely not guaranteed a single family home on post. They are connected. There's a lot of duplexes. There's a lot of sixplexes or whatever you'd want to call them, quadplexes.
Right.
You're not guaranteed a garage. You're, you know, not really guaranteed all the things that people coming from even mainland base housing or post housing think they're going to get coming here. They don't get a lot. And that's because we don't have inclement weather here. So garages, enclosed garages aren't normally so big of a thing. We need that space to build more houses. So yeah, kind of managing expectations in general.
Yeah.
Is an important thing.
So then, I mean, I guess
that leaves renting.
Yeah, that leaves,
like, the redheaded stepchild of the options was last.
It's renting. True. I think you and I both have like a love-hate relationship with renting because we both own rental properties.
For sure. I love my renters.
I love my renters. They pay my mortgage. So you can't have a rental property unless you buy one first to rent out.
True. I would not have all the rental income if we didn't first take the leap and
buy
a property first. And you did start out that journey of being people who get passive income by just converting a property we owned at one time as our primary residence into a rental. And then going from there.
When I did our little, like, what do you want to see on our podcast? A lot of people were like, tell us what it looks like to sell or rent. Yeah. We will
unpack all that.
Yes. We'll do a whole episode on that probably in the near future because we're coming up on people leaving. But it's different being an owner of a rental and being a renter. So
night and day.
It's hard for me sometimes as a property manager to like show a rental property and see all these like really well-qualified people and smart people and all these people who are like, they absolutely could buy, but they're just like tunnel vision on renting because you will get to pick your area. You get to pick your literal home. It's not like on base
you have where more options.
You have all the options you want and you will get more space for your money with renting versus buying. It's just the nature of prices here.
Well, that's because rental properties prices don't go up the same way that home values appreciate.
Okay, but funny that you say that. That is true historically, but with inflation and with the way things are going, I mean, I've been watching so many like, you know, videos and blogs and listening to podcasts. Rents have been increasing like crazy lately because so many people are looking at renting now.
Yeah.
And so it's not even necessarily you get so much more for your space. But I mean, renting is a good option for you if you cannot qualify to buy.
For sure.
That's sort of how I feel. Other than that, I don't know why you would pay someone else's mortgage when you can pay your own.
Right.
The end.
I think, well, I want to, that's all folks.
That's all, goodbye.
I think the biggest thing I want to touch on or I like to touch on, and you can fact check me on this, is here in Hawaii, especially, it's expensive to move into a rental.
Oh my gosh.
My biggest pet peeve. Yeah, good. I'm glad I'm. My biggest pet peeve is when we talk to people and they say, I don't want to buy or I can't buy. I can't afford to buy. So I'm going to rent.
I'm like, how can you afford $8,000 out of pocket?
Exactly. So if we're like hypothesizing and saying that you're going to rent a place for $3,500 a month, which is well within a lot of people's BAH now with like the increase.
E6 BAH, okay,
so $3,500 a month and you don't have a pet. You're going to need 1 month's rent and a security deposit that's typically equal to 1 month's rent. That is $7,000. On average, you can get away with buying here for around $1,500 if you have $1,000 earnest money and you pay $500 for a home inspection and you get the earnest money refunded to you. So at the end of the day, you bought a house for $500.
Well, and not just that, but you probably made a shit ton of money.
So much
money. Living in Teal Lake, which again.
Another episode.
So we have episodes galore, yeah. A whole backlog.
So true.
But yeah.
The upfront cost, and then touch on pets, please, in rentals.
Well, and it's so funny. I mean, now that I manage, you know, a handful of properties, mm-hmm. and all of the owners have pets. All of them had their own pets right. living in their own home, and many of them are very hesitant to even allow pets in their home. And the handful that I have that have allowed it will allow one pet in their home. Mm-hmm. And it's like subject to owner's approval. Like they have to, it has to be a little pet or like specifically a dog.
There's some guidelines there.
Yeah. And you know, I try to like tell my property owners, you're going to get a larger pool of renters if right. you're going to allow pets because it's so hard here. Mm-hmm. And they're still like, nope. We don't want pets. And I kind of get that. I mean, yeah. I've had dogs.
You don't? No, at our rental here, we don't.
Here. What about in Colorado?
In Colorado, we do for the ones that have yard spaces.
Oh, that's probably wise.
Yeah, we just kind of feel like we're less predisposed to pet damage, I guess, if the pet has a yard. Mm-hmm. So for some of the townhomes that we have as rentals, we don't allow pets. Mm-hmm. Several duplexes we own. So have yards, and we do.
What do you charge for pet deposit?
We charge half of the rent amount. I think legally we are allowed to charge a full month's rent as a pet deposit in Colorado. We charge half a month's rent as a pet deposit. And that's in addition to the security deposit, which is 1 month's rent and the first month's rent.
Mm-hmm. But rents in Colorado are way lower. So here you're looking, like you said, you're looking at just $7,000 for a $3,500 rental without pets. My owners usually charge about $500 deposit per pet.
Okay.
But some of them charge pet rent, like up to $50 a month.
So crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the cost of renting with pets.
Well, and the limited options. I mean, with trying to rent a place mm-hmm. with pets drastically reduces the number of options of rentals available to you, right? Because they're just so hard to find here because people don't want pets in their home because it increases the chance of damage.
Yeah. And then with renting, like, okay, first of all, it's expensive up front, but then you can't do anything to your house.
Yeah.
Like you can't mount a TV. Right. You can't paint a bedroom.
Yeah.
Like I would be so sad if I couldn't like paint my girls' bedrooms. Yeah. And like, I don't know.
That's because you do them up so cute all the time, but
I do what I can.
Like I said before about on-post housing, it's to some degree, it's like controlling your own environment. And I know it's easy to pick up the phone and call the landlord and say, my faucet is leaking. But on the other side of that, you're also relying on someone to maintenance a home that you're living in, and you're not able to control the company they pick or how reputable they are. Like they could send their cousins, brothers, uncles, nephews, friend to your house who is like a side hustle plumber. He fixes it, but not really. Then the issue comes back and say you don't catch it right away and it damages property of yours. And there's a whole, you know, onslaught of things that could come of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas owning your own home, not only can you do what you want to it aesthetically, paint, do the floors, you know, redo a kitchen, whatever, you can maintain it to your standards using people that you trust and you vet. And maybe it's just something that comes with age, but controlling my own environment and having, you know, something that's mine that I have absolute say so in is a good feeling. And it's making me money. And that's a good feeling.
Well, and that's what I was going to say too. Like, if you can just envision yourself on the other side of renting, it's easy to get there. And then you have that property that if you just hold on to it for 30 years and let someone else pay that mortgage, you literally have a second retirement right there.
That is my retirement plan. For Clayton and I, like, no joke, like we have 10 rental properties. And when they are paid off, I will make more than Clayton. Like I will. And even now, our passive income from those properties almost nets us what he makes in retirement. After deploying 5 times, 22 years of service to this country, 10 people paying our mortgage and then some net us what he gets after all of that service.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only been real estate investing for maybe 12 or 13 years.
Right.
And we're already making that much passive income.
And then that'll, I mean, we are running a little bit out of time, but that will lead well into another topic that we can talk about where you might be able to do that here, but if you can at least buy a home here, live in it, and make money when you sell it, you can use that money to buy
beaucoup
properties on the mainland.
It's a huge springboard. And you're right. We will unpack that in another episode. But generally speaking, I say take your money and run.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what you can do with, you know, say $100,000, and those are real normal profits that people are making right now selling houses with us, that will go so far on the mainland to buy, you know, multiple properties that are then all generating you passive income versus having one house here that maybe you're breaking even on.
Right.
But that is definitely
we'll unpack that whole thing later
for another episode.
Because we're sort of at time, I did, just because I knew we were going to talk about this topic, I pulled some quotes from the
spouse's pages.
I thought, I don't know, let's just leave people with a few quotes from this, you know, these pages of what on
directly from the mouths of military spouses living on post.
Yes. Okay. So this one might be my favorite. So I'm going to start here. I feel like I could write a book on how terrible our last few weeks in military housing has been. Mm-hmm. At what point can we request a new house? Literally moved in last month and just finally got working AC. We've had pest issues, dishwasher issues, and now came home to water dripping from the bathroom. So they cut open our ceiling and told us not to use the bathroom and haven't contacted us since. Period. We can see the mold. Period.
Oh my God.
That alone, one experience like that. I wish I could say it was just the one, but I have literally.
I mean, we encourage people, go to the spouse's pages, do the search, type in things, mold, bugs, maintenance, power outages. I mean, do your own research, but yeah, give us another one.
Okay, one more.
One more.
And then maybe we'll end on a happier note. Has anyone else been forced to move by Island Palms due to having wall unit air conditioners? We're being told that we have to move by June or we're getting a 45-day notice. We don't want to move, but we have to. They're finding us a new house, but I'm pissed off because we're having to pay for move-out fees, U-Haul, moving boxes, etc.
Wow.
They're giving us a $1,500 incentive bonus, but I don't feel that's justifiable when having all these expenses. So we always say, like, the benefit of the military is they move for you.
They move your stuff.
They literally bring all your boxes inside and you just unpack them. And now they're literally being told, get out. You have 45 days, get out.
And you have to do it. And that's our issue.
People think that doesn't happen though on base. They're like, okay, maybe in a rental, your rent goes up, you need to move, or they decide to sell the property or what have you. There's no benefit.
there's really not, guys. Sorry.
You can just do better than that. And I think our goal, you know, this is sort of like our inaugural podcast episode. Yeah. So I think largely our goal with this podcast is just education on the move here, on living here, on housing options here, but just giving you guys the information that we have spent years and years talking to so many people about.
Yeah, 6 years. And I would say at this point, probably approaching thousands of people that we've spoken to, not that have actually bought houses with us, but 6 years, we are damn close to 500 transactions. And so even if we talk to twice as many people as bought homes with us, we're already 1,000 people deep. Like,
we know what you want to know about moving here, about living here, and now we can bring it to the masses as our
and less filtered. Like, I don't mind, you know, I don't mind doing things, posting on social media and like whatever, but I am really so excited to just have a more genuine, raw way to communicate our experiences and our advice and answer questions and all of that with people.
Yeah. Look at that. We did it.